the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. They watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then Jesus answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of the problems that we suffer with as Christians and in the church is the problem of anger. We are angry at the world in which we live, because we see a world that is out of joint. We are angry with political correctness. We are angry with a total disregard for life. We are angry about the woke movement, about racism and the critical race theory. We're angry at all these people. There's a place for anger. There's a place for righteous anger. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?" Psalm 2 said today. "The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying to the Lord, his anointed, 'Let us break their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" There's plenty of anger in the world. And Psalm 2 indicates that this anger is directed to Jesus. You see, no one has a right to be angrier than Jesus does, because he is the Lord's anointed, sent into the world to love the world, and yet the world despises him and despises what is true and despises the order of creation and despises all things that we in the church hold up as good and which the Ten Commandments are supposed to protect. From a human standpoint, who could have blamed Jesus if he said, "To hell with the world"? But that's not what he does. Instead, he enters into the world. He bears the anger and the hatred and the iniquity and the self-righteousness and the pride and the arrogance to the altar of the cross. And from there, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The same things that are out there in the world that cause us as Christians to get angry at the world emanates from the nature of self-righteousness, which is a part of original sin. We must pray for the world. We must commend the world to the mercy of God. We must trust that God will work all things out for his good, which does not mean the endorsement of anything that is evil. But it does mean, as Jesus did, to do good on the Sabbath. The man before us in the ruler of the Pharisees' house had dropsy. It's a funny expression. Some of you have dropsy. It's congestive heart failure. And it results in being out of wind, a loss of strength and ability to work. And the Pharisees, who were angry, they were angry all the time, unless people kowtowed to their prescription of what a holy life was, And they believed that you pleased God by the works of the law. And boy, they were angry at those who didn't do what they did. And they were especially angry at Jesus because he came into the world and he proclaimed mercy and forgiveness. And he had a right to do that. So Jesus asks them a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And it's stunning, isn't it? They kept silent. You know, sometimes it's good to just ask the questions based on a premise. If all white males have systemic racism and are evil and not fit to live, is it right to murder them? Should we not submit to widespread genocide to get rid of all of those racist white people? You see, sometimes when you ask a question, you expose that which is absurd. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? The response to the question is, duh. Of course it is right to do good. Is it right to love your enemy? Yes, it is right. Is it right for the Son of God to come into the world and to bear the iniquity of the world and to go to the cross for unbelieving, wretched sinners who are filled with a lot worse than racism? And the answer is yes, even though it makes no sense to human reason. But that's the nature of God's love. Now notice what Jesus does. In answer to the question, is it right to do good on the Sabbath? And in answer to the silence, he doesn't say, forget it, I'm done with you. No, he does good on the Sabbath. He heals the man. And he does so by putting to them another question. And it's so simple, isn't it? You see, sometimes even the gospel speaks of common sense. Especially when you take the opposite side of the coin, like I just said, well, if it's all this evil, then let's kill everybody. Well, of course we don't mean that. That's absurd. So Jesus says, answering their silence, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And every single one of them would do so. It's like, which of you driving down Interstate 41, if you have a flat tire, will not get out of your car, grab the spare out of the trunk, and change your tire? But what Jesus does is he pulls off on the side of the road. And he sees you in distress there, and he dares to sacrifice himself for you, even though you are a stranger to him. And so the gospel reaches out even to those who wear jewelry in various parts of their body that cause us to scratch our head. He reaches out to those whose ideology and belief system is completely foreign to the Christian gospel. And he reaches out to them not because he endorses that which is disordered, but rather because true order in this world and in society and in culture comes from Jesus' redeeming work. The great tragedy is that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and yet so few receive a love that is absolutely freely given without counting the cost of that love to himself. And of course, the cost of that love was Jesus laying down his life in death for us. I understand the anger. It comes upon me all too often. I encourage you to pray the Psalms. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Pray the Psalms in which we commend the world that is disordered and unbelieving and full of hatred against Christ, the Lord's anointed, and against the truth. In the Psalms, we commend the world to God. And we do so with eyes fixed upon that one who did good on the Sabbath. And that one who, though we, in the language of today's gospel, deserve to sit in the lowest place because of our sin, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that includes every one of us, as well as everyone in the world around us. He calls out to us by the gospel, and he says, come up here to the highest place. And though we do not deserve it as sinners, he sits us at his table, having borne our sins and iniquities. And he says, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. And this is called the Feast of Love because it is first and foremost the love of Christ coming to us that we don't deserve, that feasting upon that love, we might learn to live in love toward others and in confessing our faith in Jesus in every aspect of our lives, in the sanctity of our marriages and what it is to be a husband and wife, in the sanctity of family life, what it is to be a mother and a father, in the sanctity of human sexuality as God has ordained it, and in the great wisdom that all were created in Adam and all fell in Adam, but all are redeemed in the second Adam, and that his love is the fountain and source of life that gives meaning and purpose to us. In these things, maybe just a few people in the world who do not yet know the Lord Jesus will see in us a radical difference from the anger and the hatred of the world. We'll see in us, rather, the love of God in Christ. And may even ask us as a husband or a wife or a mother or a father, why do you live the way you live? For there is no hatred in you. There is only mercy in you, even as you hold to those things that we do not believe in. And the answer is, because of Christ and what he is, not only for me, but also for you. Come to the waters, we might say. Come to the table. Eat and drink of the wisdom of a love which transcends the hatred of this world. Have you ever noticed that there is such a lack of peace in this world of hatred and despair? That's because the only place for peace is in Christ, in his forgiveness, in his mercy. Don't ever allow your disdain for what's going on in the world around you to cause you to lose sight of that mercy and that Christ came into the world to save this world and to redeem the sinner, no matter who he is, no matter what he might look like, no matter how far he has fallen from the order of God's creation. Because in Christ, it is good to do good on the Sabbath, and the rest that he gives is eternal peace. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.